Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
The date is December 16th, 1773. The site is Boston Harbor. Angry citizens have gathered to discuss resistance to British rule. They're led by a young patriot, Samuel Adams. The issue at hand, a cargo of British tea docked in Boston that the royal governor says must be unloaded.
If Lord North wishes to force a threepenny tax on tea to signify the supremacy of Parliament and its supposed right to tax the colonies, then we have the right to demand representation there. Taxation without representation is tyranny, and the time for petition and compromise is over!
This is a reenactment of events that led to the Boston Tea Party, when colonial resistance to British taxation lit the fuse of the American Revolution. It's part of the Boston Tea Party Ships and Museum, which opens today on the Congress Street Bridge, not far from where the actual act of resistance took place.
My hope is that when people leave this experience, they'll finally understand and learn that the Boston Tea Party was the single most important event that led to the American Revolution.
This is Sean Ford, the executive director of the new museum.
Who of us today would throw away all of our comforts, all of our future on an idea, an ideal, not an object, not for money, on an idea, throw everything away and not knowing what the outcome would be? I don't think a lot of people would do that. These brave men stood up to the most powerful army, the most powerful nation in the world, based on an idea. And that's very powerful.
So, are you all willing to take this risk with me?
So visitors will actually join the angry rabble of colonists as they demand that the British ships and their cargo of tea leave Boston. When a message from the royal governor arrives and orders that the tea be unloaded, they watch and listen as Paul Revere urges them to take action.
Let's make a cup of tea for the fishes. The rest of the tea is stored below in crates lined with lead, some weighing as much as 360 pounds. It took many hours of hard labor to free these chests from their crates, but now here lies the tea, ready to steep a salty brew in the waters of Boston Harbor. My friends, King George and Lord North would strip us of our natural rights and make us slaves and vassals of a greedy monarchy. The tool with which they would do so is at your fingertips. Let me ask you.
My name is Evan O'Brien. I'm playing Samuel Adams. At the conclusion of our town meeting, our patrons don their Mohawk disguises. Each person's received a feather, and they can hold on to that feather or put it in their hat. We march down to Griffin's Wharf, and we board either the Eleanor or the Beaver. And there we meet the character of Paul Revere, who will lead the patrons in the destruction of the tea. They will get to pick up tea, lift the chest of tea high over their heads, so high that King George can see it from here, and they'll throw them over the side and splash down into Boston Harbor.
How do you prepare? How did you prepare for this role as Samuel Adams?
A lot of research. I've been working for many months on creating the scripting for the experience here at the Boston Tea Party Ships and Museum. A lot of watching of the film John Adams, a lot of reading David McCullough novels and other research works like that. And it's not just the scripting, it's also the costuming, doing research into what people wore in the time period.
You look terrific, by the way.
Thank you, you too. So again, a great deal of work has gone into preparing for this.
Yeah. Tell me what surprised you the most as you did the research into who this man was.
What surprised me the most is how fun Samuel Adams was. He was a very interesting character. He had one suit throughout most of his adult life, that famous red suit that you see hanging up in that portrait in the MFA. And he was very proud to strut around in that suit. He was a great revolutionary, a wild firebrand of a spirit, and he could control a room like none other. And I think without his words of wisdom, without that firebrand personality, that revolution may not have occurred.
Just a few days ago, shipbuilders and carpenters were still putting the final touches on the precise replicas of two of the ships that carried the British tea. Again, Museum Executive Director Sean Ford.
All the wood that you see being used didn't come from a Home Depot or a lumberyard. They actually go into the woods, identify a tree, look at the root, look at the limbs, and say, that's it, cut it down. And then they steam the wood. It's all hand done. These ships were built like they were built back in the 1700s.
How long has it taken you to get to this point from when this idea began?
This is 12 years in the making. We hope people come.
That's right. And it's been quite a journey, right? It's including a lightning strike, if I did my research correctly.
Yes, the original site, and back in August of 2001, the bridge tender's house was struck by lightning, and then the lightning passed through the entrance of the museum entrance, and it burnt the building. And 12 years later, here we are.
You weren't discouraged by being struck by lightning. I mean, you know, that's... that some people might take that as an omen.
Well, it's, you know, everything happens for a reason and a purpose. Yeah. And we had a lot of setbacks, one thing after another, whether it was a financing or bridge or constructions or tunnel collapse. But I really believe because of those setbacks, we have a better project today. And a lot more attention went into detail from every aspect of this project. Just the ships alone, we have coppered the hulls of the ship. We didn't have to do that, but we did. That's the way it was done. There's 22,000 hand-driven nails in the hull of that ship. And no one's going to see it, but we know it.
And after museum visitors participate in tossing those fake tea crates overboard, they'll head into the museum where they can learn something about what became of one of the real tea crates.
I get chills every time I tell the story. Where you're standing in this body of water is where the tea party happened. That crate right there was thrown overboard by the men of the Tea Party 239 years ago. Huh. And there it is. That tea crate's journey in its life is told here in this exhibit through sound, light, and back panels. So you're going to learn how the crate was on the ship, how it was thrown overboard, and how it got back here to the site. So it's a really powerful story.
Let me ask you, do you want to pay the king's taxes?
No! Do you want
Sean Ford is executive director of the Boston Tea Party Ships and Museum, which opens today on the Congress Street Bridge in Boston. There's a lot more information about the museum at radioboston.org.
Do you want your children to pay 10 pence on the very air they breathe?
No!
Then let King George know our intentions. Patriots, lift high the chest of tea, and now, over the side with them, hip hip, huzzah!
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.